Shiras Li Lui Nishmat Shulamit Bat Moshe Zalman, Allah Shalom, as well as for Rafur Shlema, for Rav El Yoshiv, who's having surgery in Mirtz Hashem tonight, Harav Yosef Shalom Ben Chaya Mushka. It's a very famous medrash that Rashi quotes at the beginning of the Parsha. And it's this medrash that I'd like to try to Mirtz Hashem understand on a little bit more deeper level, and to be able to understand what Korach was trying to argue with this, and what lesson we can obviously learn for our lives. And the pasuk Vayikach Korach and Torach took, so the Targum Onkelos says Vispale Korach. Korach perpetuated a schism. And in source one, Rashi states that Korach asked a question. And in fact, the way the Medrash describes it is he took all 250 men and dressed them up in a talis shekulo tchela and asked, is a talis, which is entirely made of tchelas, blue wool, required to have tzitzis, which contains a tchelik strand, or is it exempt? Is it enough just to have that outer cloth without the strings coming from it? Well, Moshe explained that it certainly is required to have tzitzis. Korach scoffed. If a single thread of tchelet is sufficient for an entire talis, why shouldn't a talis composed entirely of tchelet exempt itself? And the Medrash of Bamidbar Rabbah adds another question posed by Korach. Is a room full of sacred books exempt from a mezuzah or not? Again, Ramosha responded in the affirmative, Korach scoffed. If a single mezuzah exempts an entire room, then a room full of sacred books should obviously, certainly exempt itself. Korach was actually alluding to the idea that Klal Yisrael, which is entirely composed of many holy individuals, should not require the services of an intermediary such as Moshe or Aaron between them and Hashem. He felt that Klal Yisrael as a group could communicate with Hashem directly. And that's why his major focus of his argument is found in the pasuk, Ki kol eda kulam kedoshim. The entire assembly is holy. Uvetocham Hashem, and Hashem is a mitzvah. Umadua tinafsu akal Hashem. Why do you raise yourself over the congregation? This was an all-out war against the authority of Moshe and Aaron when Klal Yisrael could have the ability to communicate directly with God without any intermediaries. Just on a technical level, the Mefarshim note, this is source 4 and 5, that the reason why these two examples were chosen, when many could have been chosen, why specifically the example of the talus and the mezuzah? So the talus connects with the end, the smichus parshios, of the end of Parshat Shlach, which is a mitzvah tzitzit, and that connects the two stories together. And perhaps as the Klal Yisrael notes, that the idea of mezuzah is hinted at in the pasuk that Datan and Aviram went out, yatsu nitzavim petach ha'aleim. They went out standing at the entrance of their tents. Perhaps that's a hint at the mitzvah of mezuzah at the entrance of their tent. But both tzitzis and mezuzah have in common is zechiras mitzvos Hashem, reminding oneself of the mitzvos of Hashem. We know that tzitzis, Feirish Pasuk, that you see the tzitzis uzachartem, you remember the mitzvos of Hashem. And by mezuzah, you have the Rambam in Source 5, v'chosman shikaneis v'yitzei, when you go in and out of a room, v'yifka b'yichud Hashem, and you meet up with the oneness of God through the mezuzah, the shmo shel kodesh b'ruach hu, v'yizkor avato, v'ye'or mishnato v'shneota b'evlei hazman, you remember God's love for you, you awaken from the stupor of time, and you realize that nothing lasts forever, but rather the knowledge of God, and then goes on the straight path. So what mezuzah and tzitzis have in common is the awareness of God. And that's really what Korach was arguing. We have the awareness of God. Ki kol eda kulam kedoshim, the whole nation is holy. Why do you need, umaduati nasua kal Hashem, why do you need to raise yourself above the entire assembly? Why do you need that string of tchelet? Why do you need the mezuzah? That's a simple interpretation. The Maral adds the dimension of the mezuzah connects to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Talus connects to Aaron HaKohen. He's arguing over both of their positions, but be that as it may, that's a simple understanding of this Medrash. I'd like to try on two levels, and we'll see they'll be very similar, just one a bit deeper than the other, to try to understand perhaps a little bit more deeply what Korach is arguing. We know Korach was a pikeach, he was a very brilliant person. He was a great, great person. What was the argument of Korach? What was he trying to underscore here? And clearly, what's the lesson for our lives? And what we also need to understand on both levels is that we know that the punishment fits the crime. Why is it that Korach is punished with the ground opening up and he's swallowed with no trace of them ever existing, right? The ground just completely, almost like eradicates them completely from existence. How is that parallel with what their complaint is based on, if we say their complaint is the Tal Shekulot Chele and the Mezuzah? We're going to focus primarily, as the title indicates, on the talus, the imagery of the talus, but we'll see, we'll touch on as well the Inyan Mezuzah as well. The first level, I'd like to look at the writings of Rav Grossbard and Dat Shraga, then develop them with the writings of Rav Reis in Mirosh Surim, and then bring it down to a contemporary level in the writings of Rav Freifeld, and that will be level one. Says the Dat Shraga the following, source 6. Hata'ut shel Korach, second paragraph, adato haita, shebeparasha tzitzit katuv, ro'itam oto uschartem, leman tizkeru v'asita. Korach's mistake was that the pasuk beferish describes that tzitzit is here to remind you of the mitzvos. And the way the tzitzis do that is the tchelet, is that one thread reminds us of the color blue, reminds you of the color of the sea, which reminds you of the color of the sky, which ultimately reminds you of the kisei hakavod, and therefore you remember God. And what Korach is arguing is, why do you need to have all these intermediary steps? If the goal of tzitzit is to remember God and to remember the mitzvot, then just have a talus shekulo tchelet, have a garment that's entirely blue, and then you'll have that remembrance. You don't need to go through all those middle steps. You will achieve what the goal is. And likewise, the argument in 7 is that Korach is arguing that nevuah, that prophecy that Moshe Rabbeinu was given, was in order to differentiate Klal Yisrael from the rest of the world. But now that we are distinct from the rest of the world, now we have maintained that level, that we are the Am Segula, we are the chosen nation, then you don't need the prophecy anymore of Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't need the role of Moshe Rabbeinu to achieve this goal, because the goal has already been achieved. This thought process of Korach has two fallacies clearly found in them. Fallacy number 1, source 8, is shesavar shemitzvos Hashem noadu bishvil lasik ezem matara v'techlit. Korach is coming from the perspective that mitzvos are in order to attain a certain goal. So as long as that goal can be attained in a different way, you don't need to do the mitzvah. Wrong. This is fundamentally a problem. Mitzvos aren't here in order to gain a certain goal. The bottom line is, we don't know why we do mitzvos. Yes, we have tamei mitzvos, we have certain reasons that are given for mitzvos. When push comes to shove, we do a mitzvah for one reason, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do it. And it's not about the end result that is going to come from it. It's about the process of doing that mitzvah. It's about the process of listening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you have so many darkos, so many levels in mitzvah. Whether you have zrizos, whether doing alacrity with simcha, with joy, all of these show you that the process itself is crucial. What Korach is saying is you can knock out the entire process. You don't need to have the strands. You have the end result. You see the blue? That's enough. Wrong. The mitzvah itself is what's crucial. And second notes, Rav writes, the Dat Shraga and the Arrow in 8, is that Korach is arguing that it's a davar tivi, a natural thing, that you'll see the blue of the talis shekulo tchele, and you'll immediately remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will remind you of the blue of the sky of the Kisei HaKavod. Wrong! There's nothing automatic. You can see many blue and not think of the Kisei HaKavod. The reason why the thread of tzitzit reminds you of the Kisei HaKavod is that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to think about when you see that thread. If you didn't have that mitzvah, if you didn't have that direct command, it would not have happened by its own right. And this is the same idea by Moshe Rabbeinu's role. His job isn't only to have nevuah prophecy to distinguish us. There's a purpose in nevuah in its own right. There's a purpose in the leadership in Moshe Rabbeinu in its own right. Not just the result of how the Jewish people will be distinguished from the other nations. And this is a schism between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael. It's not about the end result, it's about the process that leads us to the end result. Because if you, Korach, go on in this mindset, what you are doing is you are putting your mindset onto the mindset of Torah. And that is why it says that Trigon, Source 10, it is no wonder that Korach ends up down in earth. Because when you think that you can dictate the reasons for Torah mitzvot and that you can understand them and you can say this is the way it should be, your end is going to be avadon. You're going to be totally decimated and totally destroyed like Korach was. Rav Reiss develops this and he says, according to Sfasemis and the Arrow in 11, when the Pasuk says, Al yitalel chacham bechochmato, that a wise person should not pride themselves on their wisdom, but rather, says Yirmiyahu Navi, Kim bizot yitalel amitalel, haskel v'yado oti, that a person should pride themselves on knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this, Rav Reiss develops by explaining that in our life, we have to understand that we don't have any understanding of why the mitzvot are what they are. Ulam chovas ha-Yehudi in 12, lo l'chapes higayon l'dvarim. Our job is not to try to understand. Yes, you can try to explore reasons, but you're never going to get to the depth of understanding. Ela la'loch b'tmimud. Our job is to walk with a certain amount of simple faith. Achar ritzon habore. Eitzol adat korach chatzra hitbatlut muchletet zu. That was the nekuda missing by Korach. It's the nekuda of bittul. Can you be able to suppress your mind to a higher will of God? Umitokach achumidechi eldechi. And because they were unable to give up of their mindset, that they had to understand, that they had to know, that they thought they could figure it out, that's why they ended up in this terrible place. And this, what the Sifti Tzaddik says, is shetzrichim lelech bepashtus ubetmimus holech betom yelech betach. There's a certain amount, and this is so crucial in our avodas Hashem, in all aspects of our lives, a certain amount of tmimus, a certain amount of wholeness and faith and simpleness, but not in a negative sense, in the purest sense of walking after God. This, my friends, applies to mitzvahs. One can say, you know, this mitzvah is out of date. You know, then it was common for them to do A, B, and C, so therefore the Torah was written for them. No, Torah is above time and space. Torah is not found in any one particular time. Yes, that is correct, that they didn't have elevators and the question of electricity on Shabbos thousands of years ago. But all the mechanics of the Hilchos Shabbos of Eish and Lo Tavaru Eish is then applied to our day and age. Things aren't changed. We have the gedolim to apply the principles to today's day and age. But, my friends, we have to walk with that tmimus, saying that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded is what is best for us. He knows what is best for us in terms of both mitzvot, and then that spills over, my friends, into life itself. that we don't know what's best for us. Poseach et yadecha, we open up our hands 3 times a day and we say, U'masfiya l'chol chai ratzon. And you fulfill everyone according to ratzon. One interpretation is your will, God. I open up my hands as a symbol of saying I'm giving up my control. I'm giving up my ability to say, it's me, it's about kochi votzim yadi. I open up my hands and I say, it's about your ratzon. I'm able to give over my life and what is best for me into the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tmimos. That's the level that Korach was so missing. As Rav Reich says in 13, the double underline, Ulam b'shum panim lo dad enosh tachria et divrei Torah. We can't understand and we can't dictate Torah. And this, my friend, is so beautifully symbolized in 14 in what Chazal say, that Korach was one of the people who was no sayer to Aaron. He carried the Aaron on his shoulders. So we know Chazal tell us that those who physically carry the Aron were mistaken to think that they actually carry the Aron, but rather, Aron no say no sa. The Aron carried those who held it. Korach's job was just to put his shoulder underneath those poles, and then the Aron carried him. That, my friends, is a metaphor for life. Kol megamat pnei adam shricha liyot shimatzei ra'ui lekach. Sharon Yisauto. Life is about, are you ready for the Torah to carry you? Are you ready that you're not adding an iota to carrying the Aron? The Aron is carrying you. You, Korach, more than anyone else should understand this. You, Korach, should understand that you can't add a dimension to Torah. You don't carry the Aron. The Aron carries you. But you know, my friend, it's even deeper than that. Rav Reitz quotes a gewaldic Meshech Chachma. You know, I always say there's certain things, and this is the beauty of preparing the Shirim, that are so exciting, that when you read these pieces, you're just like flying. This Meshech Chachma, there were a number of pieces this week. This Meshech Chachma had that impact on me. The Meshech Chachma says, what is the whole idea of the mitzvah tzitzit? So he says that Shekol Briya Sa'olam, the asterisk in 15, Hu Bevchinat Beget, the whole creation, the whole world, is like a piece of clothing. And it's like this we're enwrapped in this light that gives us life and energy. And we know, but just like the clothing conceals, so too, this clothing of God, kivyachol, conceals this world. That you could be blinded and not see God, God forbid. And that's the idea that the world is called olam from the word helem, concealment. And this is what that beged came to do. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that even though there is this beged here, the end result is not the beged. Hashem left the corners of the beged uncompleted. The idea that we have in the Ramchal, that the Yisod HaRishon, that the whole world is built on, is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be mashlim at atzmo, to be able to complete oneself as well as the world. And that's why we have by the Bris Milah, Hitalech Lefanai Ve'yet Tamim. And that's the idea of tzitzis. That Hashem's world, so to speak, is like this garment. And our job is to be able, we'll speak about finding God in the concealment. We'll talk about that in Mirtz Hashem on the second level. But what God has done in this garment of this world is left at the corners strings that are not yet tied. We have to literally tie those strings, and that's the whole idea of tzitzit, that they're knots, and we tie them. And then there are strings that are left hanging. That's our job. our job is to complete this becket, to complete this garment. We need to tie the knots. We need to wrap the strings around. We need, so to speak, to tie up the loose ends. That's our job in completing this world. That's the essence of what this world is about. You know, it's interesting. I had the schluss of going to a bris, very special person yesterday, on Shabbos in their home. And the L'machara Tira Moshe Breslover makes this point in last week's parsha. You know that at a bris, in a Shabbos bris, in a home, you saw it even more distinctly, is that any person who gets any type of kibbud wears a talus. And you saw the talus because there weren't that many, going from shoulder to shoulder. So you almost ask yourself, why is there a big deal that the person holding the baby, the person naming the baby, the person putting the baby, why does everyone need to wear a talus? But my friends, we understand this so much more deeply based on this. This is the call of the child. We know the essence of a bris is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol says, I didn't make the child complete. You need to complete the child through a bris milah. And likewise, that is the message you're giving the child and yourself at a bris by wearing this talus. That life is about completing. Life is about connecting those strings. Life is about tying those knots. Don't leave a world that is full. Korach, that was your problem. You said, Kikol Eida Kulam Kedoshim. You said, you've reached it. We can have a talus shekula tchelet. No! If you leave out the strings, you're leaving out the fundamental essence of this world. You're leaving out process. We're not only an end result. We're very much in the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself, the process itself, has value. And as L'machara Atir also notes, this is perhaps one of the reasons why it's a minhag Yisrael that a kala gives a chasen a talus as a wedding present. Because this is also the message that she is giving to him. Together we are going to create a better world. Together we are going to tie those strings. We are going to make this world a more complete place within ourselves as individuals, within ourselves as a couple, and the binyan ha'dayah that we are going to create in Am Yisrael. And this, taken a little bit further, my friends, is what Rav Reis ends his essay with, that if you're only involved in the talit shekulo tchelet, if you're only involved in the end result, so then life is going to be about just piling up mitzvah after mitzvah. All you care about is how many mitzvahs you can get. But you know what you're missing? You're missing the process of doing the mitzvahs. You're missing the dveikus. You're missing the connection. And that's why he says, likewise in 18, by a mezuzah, it's beautiful to have a room, mole svarim. We're teaching Baruch Hashem in a room that's mole svarim. But to have the svarim surrounding you and not become part of you, then you've missed the essence. That mezuzah and the entrance to the room allows you to have that personal interaction, that personal connection, that the mezuzah enables you to make a roshem. It's not enough just to have a svarim full of, house full of svarim, but are the svarim part of you? Have you made it part and parcel of who you are? That mezuzah is a reminder about connection, that you wake up from the stupors of this world and realize that we're here to take what we have and make it part of ourselves. And therefore, says Rav Reis, is it any wonder that Korach disappeared without a roshem, without any impression of where he was? It's just the earth is back to normal, no crack, like a regular earthquake. Because he was not into living a life on this level of roshem, of impression. Just get to the end result, not to the process. It's a process itself. It's a tzitzit. It's tying those knots. It's being involved in learning those svarim, in creating that relationship that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. And that's why you need a Moshe and Aaron. You need to have leaders. You need to have teachers. You need to have intermediaries to enable us to reach deeper and deeper levels of connection. Rav Freifeld, a beautiful piece in the essay, The Force of Light, says the following. In 19, he says, are we tzaddikim? Are we the opposite? Or are we perhaps somewhere in between? Are we beacons of brightness, or are we the island of darkness? Are we creative, or are we destructive? When we take stock of ourselves and what we have accomplished or failed to accomplish in our lives, we are inclined to think like accountants. Our approach is mathematical. We total up the score, how many good deeds did I do, and how many bad deeds. We add up the column, and that tells us if our lives were meaningful or meaningless. But this is a terrible mistake. It's an exceedingly superficial way of looking at it. Man, human beings, are creator. This is one of the subtlest and deepest expressions of the essence of man. This is the idea, he says at the end of 19, where we have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, literally a good inclination and a bad inclination. He notes that Yetzer inclination comes from the same word as Yetzer, to create, to form. There's a positive creative energy that we could have in this world, or a negative creative energy we can have in this world. Continue the next page in 20. History is the ebb and flow of the creative process. It's the sum total of all the positive and negative creativity of all the billions and billions of people who ever populated the world. This moment right now, this place where we stand, as well as every moment in every place, is the product of thousands of years of creativity of every kind. The creative forces of good and the creative forces of evil. The supreme concern, the preeminent measure of every individual act a person does, is, according to the Torah, how it fits into the overall pattern of positive and negative creativity. The seemingly trivial concerns with the minutiae of how to wash your hand, how to hold your lulavanetro, how exactly to do shchita, how to stand during tefillah, all these derive from the Torah's extreme sensitivity to the ultimate significance of every act a human being performs. All the nuances, all the wrinkles and shades affect the creative energy that these acts generate. What makes a masterpiece by a master painter into a great work of art? How is it different from the forger's imitation? It's a mere subtlety, so subtle that the untrained eye can't even tell the difference. And this is what the Torah is concerned with. The subtlety of a person's acts, because the subtleties are important, even if they are unrecognizable to the untrained eye. These subtleties can determine whether or not the act will generate positive creative energy or not. And a person may say to himself, all right, I did something wrong, something foolish. Not says so, the Torah. It's not simply you did something wrong and foolish. That's looking at it mathematically. It's more than that. You created something wrong. You created something foolish. You have given life and existence to these wrong and foolish acts. You made them into a reality. And in some mysterious, imponderable way, those acts now exist in this world, and they have become part of society. My friends, this is the message of Korach. We sometimes don't give ourselves enough credence to the small acts that we do. We say, does it make a difference if I hold the cup in my right hand or my left hand when I say a bracha? Yes, it makes a difference to hold it in the right hand. It makes a difference if you're wearing lace shoes to put on the right, then the left, tie the left, and then tie the right, and take them off in the opposite way. Ah, you say, what difference does it make? It makes a difference to the master artist who all of these nuances create positive energy in this world. How? We can't explain it. But just like Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos, just like a director of a play, you know, living in Los Angeles, we saw this very often, that you would watch them shoot a scene of, let's say, a guy walking down the street talking to somebody and the guy was wearing a hat. And Lisa Aiken, in her book, To Be a Jewish Woman, brings this as an example of sneers. And the hat is off for a quarter of a centimeter. The guy will say, take two, reach two. You and I, looking at this scene, say, do you notice the hat is like this or like this or like that? No, but the director notices, and it makes a difference. The director of the world notices, and Korach will say it's the end result. No, no, no. It's the creative process that changes the entire world. You know, it's interesting. Somebody today in one of my yeshiva room this morning was telling me about this Rebbetzin cook, happens to be Rav Yoshi's granddaughter, if I'm not mistaken, in Tveria, supposed to be a very holy woman. So she was demonstrating to somebody about taking a piece of fruit, if I'm not mistaken, and weighing it for its weight of calories, the caloric value. And then she had someone say a bracha on that fruit, and then put it back on the scale, and the scale went haywire. We don't realize that what a bracha does to a fruit, but it creates another field of energy. That's how we have to understand the process of tzitzit. Every bracha, every smile, every ben adam l'chaveru, every ben adam l'makom, we have to envision as another string, as another wrapping around, as another knot, and that creates a creative energy in this world. And likewise, when we do something wrong, it's untying those knots. It's not doing something wrong as much as creating negative field of forces in this world. It's not about a talit shekula tchela. It's about the strings and how each string and the process brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My friends, I want to take the same idea, but much deeper. Let's introduce this idea from the writings of Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Garden of the Torah 22. From a mystic perspective, it is explained that Korach's desires reflected the spiritual heights to be reached in the era of redemption. The rewards of that age cannot, however, be attained prematurely, but only as a result of divine service. It is only through our selfless devotion to the Torah of Moshe and the directives of the quote-unquote extension of Moshe in every generation, the Torah leaders of our people, that we can elevate ourselves and the world to the point that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God. And the Mefarshim speak about that Korach was a great person. In fact, Rav Reis says, we're not here to critique Korach in source number 3. We're here to be able to learn the lessons of Korach, because Korach was a great person. Korach has a vision of the future world. I'd like to learn together a Gevaldik essay, and Amir Tzashem will be using the Sefer in weeks to come. I chanced upon the Sefer last week looking for books for our book gemach, but nothing we know is chance. And my husband didn't chance to find this parking spot 10 minutes away from the bookstore we were at, and it happened to be right in front of this parking plate. Nothing is by chance. It's called Talalei Chaim. Rav Chaim HaKohen, he's called the Rav HaChalban. He is a Mekubal who lives in Givatayim, very low-key. But anyone who's come in contact with him, I've heard quite a number of stories, say that he's an Adam Gadol Ma'ot. Very hard to reach, very hard to have an appointment with him. But Mamish, a Mekubal, but a very, very simple type, like a farmer. Mamish works the ground, but tremendous Talmid Chacham. He has 4 chapters, which is one long essay on this parasha. I believe 4 chapters. It's like 30 or 40 pages that I try to distill down, obviously doing a disservice, into 2 or 3 pages to give a sense of what was the whole issue of Korach. Let's learn together, my friends. It is really exciting. He first notes in 24 that when Korach says, Ki kol heida kulam kedoshim, ubetocham Hashem, umaduati nasua kal Hashem. He says the beginning of this pasuk, that kol leida kulam kedoshim, that the entire assembly is holy, and Hashem is amidst us, is a very true statement and a very deep statement. And we know anyone who wants to perpetuate any type of falsehood has to say some level of truth, and people get so caught up in the message of truth that they're not able to distinguish the falsehood. This part of the statement is 100% true. It's the end. Umaduati nafsua kal Hashem. Why are you raising yourself up? That's where the problem came. But this statement of Korach is very true. And in the future, we have the idea at the end of 24 in Yirmiyah, v'lo yilamdu od isha regeu v'isha tachiv lemor duat Hashem, ki kulam yaduoti. One's not going to have to teach an older or younger or a lesser knowledge, a greater knowledge. Everyone will have knowledge of Hashem. There is this vision. It's very much a future vision of Korah, where everyone is going to be on the same level. Let's try to understand this idea. What does it mean we're all holy? So he notes in 25 the idea from the Tanya, second parak, that we all have a chelek eloka mimal mamish. We all have a part of godliness in us. We all have, in the panimios of every Jew, is a hemshech, is a continuation of the oro yisparach, the light of God, to the worlds down here. And everyone's neshama is kodesh kedoshim. But he notes, that every neshama has five components to this. I'm not getting too mystical here, don't worry. The nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, those are the parts down here that we access. We call them the id, the ego, and the superego. And then there's chaya and yechida, those are the parts that are found up in heaven, and our souls somehow have to connect from down here to up there. So he says, on the level of Yechida, which is the highest level of our soul, you are 100% right. Ki kol haydak ulam kedoshim. There is no distinction between people. Everyone is holy on the same level. And it's that level of Yechida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Mount Har Sinai and he revealed the Torah at the end of 25. And that's why he speaks about how Moshe Rabbeinu was told numerous times, go down to the people when I'm beginning to say the Aseret Dibro, that you should understand you, Moshe Rabbeinu, a Navi, has never been as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. At this moment, you are equal to everybody. Because on the level of Yechida, on the level of Mamad Har Sinai, everyone was on that level, including Moshe Rabbeinu and the simplest person. They all reached that great height. On this level of Kedusha, on this level of holiness, this Kedusha in 26 is a Nena Tluya B'Masin Shalanu. It's not dependent on our Maisin. It is rather the intrinsic aspect, the Shirki Deish Yadid B'Beten. This is the intrinsic Kedusha that we have. And our mitzvos and our aveiros do not in any way impinge on this Kedusha. It is a Kedusha that cannot be changed in any way. It's a Kedusha that's chai v'koyam from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'terem etzarcha b'beten yidaticha l'agirmi al-novi. For before we're even created, Hashem knows us. This is the Kedusha that we have. Now, that's how we live on that plane. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as we saw in the first level of the Ramchal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where he does want us to be involved. It's a world where our ma'asim do count. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? 27. V'chaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hu shitgalek vodo v'adar yikaro dafka derech ma'isa tachtonim. Hashem wants us to reveal him dafka derech Yisrael b'chiratam, through our effort and work. Hashem wants us to reveal, therefore, what Hashem did, who wants us to live on a level of Bechira, of free choice, and that there's meaning to our lives, double underlined in 27, L'shem kach, simseim HaKadosh Baruch Hu et tokef HaKedusha HaGadol v'histiro b'pnimios. This is it. Hashem took this great light, and he was mitzamsem it. He contracted it. When we speak about the Pintel Yid, that part in us that is never going to be changed, that's that light of Yechida. That's the core us. You're right. But how many of us walk around feeling like we are connected to that deepest level of self? Most people don't. How many of us walk around feeling that there's light emanating from us? Most people don't. And the reason is that Hashem created this darkness within ourselves and this darkness within the world for us to be able to reveal this light. The Kach Yasad HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Olamos, continuing in 27. Kulam be'ofen shakedusha halyona einana gluya bahem. That ultimate kedusha is not revealed. Ela genusa v'ne'alemet b'me'amakim. It's concealed. It's hidden. Be'po'al kayemet b'china acheret shakedusha. We have to be able to find this kedusha and access it. And on this level, there are levels. There's levels in time. There's Shabbos. There's Chol. There's Yantif. There's levels in Kedusha place. There's Eretz Yisrael. There's Har HaBayit. There's Yushalayim. There's Chutz Laaretz. There's level in people. There's Gedolim. There's simple people. There are levels. Because in the world that we live in, Hashem wants us to take the initiative. And we need to be able to utilize our free Bechira and be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the time and space and ultimately within ourselves. And this is what the Ramchal speaks about in the Das Tfunos, that there are two in the second paragraph in 29, two Bechinos that build the world. There's the Bechina of Kedusha, Chukah, Bahem, Nilamala. Yes, there's that invincible truth of above. But there's also the Bechina of the Koach Maaseim HaKedusha Mitgaleda Yudei Pulatam. But there's also the Kedusha that we create and we reveal through our deeds. This he describes in imagery form in 29 and 30. It's the difference between two geometric figures. The Gemara in Tanis speaks about Lasulovo. Hashem is going to sit around, and the Tzaddikim will sit around the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kivyochol in a circle. Hashem kivinu lo nagilu b'nisbecha b'shuaso. A circle, we know everything's equidistant to the center, and everyone is equal on the circle. In the future, there'll be a machol. In the future, there's going to be a circle. Because in the future, what's going to be revealed is this nekuda v'yichida, this higher level, where everyone, kikolai da kulam kadoshim, where everyone's holy. But down here in this world, we're not working in the dimension of circle. We're working in the dimension of straight lines. A circle, you have nowhere to go. You ever heard of the idea of walking in circles? Yeah, because there's nowhere to go. You're just going back and back to the same place because you've already reached there. It's not about your maisim. It's about that kedusha that Hashem has given you. But a straight line is something that we can move forward. Bevchina in 29, the asterisk, Hayosher Shayechet Rakasher Yeshlani Kadeim. A straight line is about where you can move forward. Rasonenu Lamar Rak Makom Shabo Yesh Dargot Nimuchov Dargot Voho. When you have lower levels and higher levels, then you can move forward. And that is the dynamic of what life is about. Recognizing that our job is lines. It's movement in order to reach, and these lines are endless, in order to reach the ultimate level of that circle, of the ability to reach that completion, so to speak, of being able to decipher that inner part of self and the inner part of the godliness of this world, which is really a chelik of the next world. And perhaps there's imagery as well, speaking about a wedding, of the finger versus the tabat, of that integration between chassan and kala, of recognizing that life is about movement forward, to be able to build that goal of being able to access the circle, the completion, which ultimately we know, and that's why the woman is the one who wears the ring, is the domain of the woman of Shasani Kirtzono, what the next world is about, of that closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But we'll leave it for now, without going further. So therefore, he says in 31, and this is where life is about, the Zesod Haigulim Halyonim, Elashistir Kodesh Baruch Hu Debachinam Azod, life is about recognizing that those worlds are concealed, Ulamase Yatzar Chiluke Adargos, and our job, Ikar Avodos Ha'adami, Lachsof Et HaKedusha Ne'alemet Azod, we have to reveal, peel away that Kedusha, Shahainu Shadam B'Koach Masava Tovim, we through our action, and Enenu Mamsiya HaKedusha, we don't create the light, we don't create the holiness, Ela Chosef Ota Ma'aster Ela Gilui, we reveal it into the world of the Gilui. The neshama of every person is able to go out of darkness into a world of light. My friends, what a powerful imagery to think about in our lives. This is what life is about. Life is about that every time I say a bracha on a cup of water, every time I smile at someone, every time I do a chesed, you know what I'm doing? I'm peeling away a layer of darkness, a layer of black tape that's concealing that light within me. And the more I peel away in life, and the higher I go in my bechiras and my free choice, the greater amount of light and energy I reveal within myself and the world. And this, my friends, is the idea of mitzvah gereres mitzvah. As Ramchal speaks about, that when you do a mitzvah, you're creating the gra as well, a mishle. You're creating an energy in this world, a light that enables you to do another mitzvah. That's what it's about. Not creating the light, revealing the light. Revealing the light that's within you. Torah and mitzvahs is about discovering the self, discovering and revealing the inner power part of Kedusha within us. It's so exciting. It's so powerful. It's so redemptive. Every mitzvah we do is creating greater light within my life because I'm peeling away that darkness. I'm being able to come closer and closer to access that inner core, that inner ring, that tabat of holiness. What was Korach saying? Korach was saying, who needs all these outer levels? Who needs to peel away the layers? Who needs to go through this whole process? You know, it's a real struggle. Do I speak Lashon Hara, do I not? And when I don't, oh, I've peeled away another layer. Forget the layers! Kol Ida Kulam Kedoshim, reality is we're all holy. It's a beggar Shekulot Tchelet. Who needs the string? Just go to the core. Just focus in on the Pnimius, on the inner. Why do you need all the outer trappings? Why do you need all the Yitzharim, all the inclinations? Just focus that we're holy. That's what Korach was speaking about. Let's live a life where our focus is only on the Pnimius. Let's just focus in and only the good. Let's not work on again the process to get to that good. And this is why on Korach's level you don't need to have gedolim, you don't need to have great people to inspire you or to direct you. You're there. But we don't live in a world like that. That's the world of lofty lofel. That's the world of the future. We live in a world where we need gedolim. We need to be inspired. We need to see the gedolim stay shining. We need to be directed by them, by teachers, in order to become as great as we can be. And this is the imagery, he says in 34, of the talis shekulo tchelet. The talis is something that's universal. It doesn't have to go into a right hand, a left hand. It doesn't have to be measured. It can fit any single person. It enwraps every person. That talis, shekulo tchelet, just the talis itself, represents kikol eda kulam kadoshim, all equal. The talis is one size fits all. But you know what you're missing? Yes, there's great light in that talus. But the tzitzit, ah, oh, gorgeous, the arrow, hanimshechot me'akanaf, but those strings that come from the corners, romzot al ha'or hanimshech v'yorein mitoch ha'or makif ha'gadol, is about that light that comes into our world from that great light. These tzitzit are chutim dakim. They're very fine strings, but they are what draws down the light into our world. And that's what we have to focus in on. We can't just live in a world of the outer trapping of, or the inner world of the tzitz, of the talus. Our job is to look at those fine strings and to see them as beacons of light, that we need to attach ourselves to those light, to be able to attach ourselves to this energy, that we can become people who are going to be able to work on being mitchaber l'talis, to be able to connect ourselves to that talis, to be able to bring that light and ignite that light into our life. And that's why he says very clearly in 37, why is it that Korach lands up in the ground? Because the inner ground is Pnimius. That's the world of the internal. Moshe Rabbeinu says, let God decide. Should we live a world of chitzonius, a world of the external, a world of struggle? Or should we live a world of Pnimius, a world of the inner world? And by Korach getting swallowed up, Hashem is saying, you, Korach, want to live down there. But that's the Sheol. That's the deep underground. That's not the world I want you to live in. I don't want you to go straight to the Pnimius. You belong down there. But you're missing. And that's why they scream, Moshe MS, V'anachtu Badoyim, V'tarasso MS. Moshe's true. The Torah is true. It's not about going directly to the jackpot of the talit shekulo tchelet. You got to have the strings. Life is about the way to get to Pnimius is to work through this world. You're right, Korach. That's a vision of the future. Well, Wolfson speaks about this in 38. The seven strings represents the Olam HaTeva. The eighth string of the tchelet is wound around that you want to live in a world of only tchelet. No. We need the seven strings of the Olam HaTeva. We need to have this world to get to that next world. And that's why we say both levels are so similar, even though they're so different. that this is the challenge that we have. Sometimes you just want to go for the top. You know, I just want to get there already. Great, but don't skip steps getting there. Each thread, each mitzvah uncovers another level, another light. And enjoy that process. Enjoy the revealing part. Enjoy the excitement of finding more light. Because that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That we have an input. That we have bechira. That we have the ability to move toward that final world. Now here, my friends, is our final idea, but very crucial. How do we attain this? How do we practically work on making sure that we're involved in the process, that we're able to be successful in revealing the light? So I think the answer is found in a beautiful essay of Rav Shmuel Brazil in the Shvili Nivra Olam on the idea of a mezuzah. He says in 39, Katvu Mekubalim, the mystics write, V'nasela minhag Yisrael, it's become a minhag Yisrael, Shebechol pam, every time, heim v'yitziyoso, heim v'chnisoso, when you walk in and out of a room, yaniach yadol ha-mezuzah, you put your hand on the mezuzah, then v'nashka, then you kiss your hand. He says, the deeper message on this is that every person, when they do this, reminds themselves not only of the oneness of God, but also of the oneness of oneself, because we know that our fingerprints are unique to us, and the lines on our hand, are also unique for each and every one of us. So that when I put my hand on the mezuzah and I bring it back to my face, I'm able to remind myself I have a unique mission, right? People who read palms, right? Every person has their own story, their own history. If you know how to read the palms, I'm not advocating it. In each and every hand. This is my life. It's all in the palm of my hand. In fact, our Brazil notes in Mefarshim that we think the head is the top of our body. In reality, the hands are, because the hands go on top of our head. The hands represent our uniqueness, represent what makes us special in this world. And that is why the sirtut, the etching out on the mezuzah, that the mezuzah has to be scored, is almost a reminder to take that scored mezuzah and score it onto my hand. Mezuzah, mazaz, the ma, who am I, has to move from the mezuzah into my hand. And as he notes in the bracket in 41, it's also interesting that we use this hand when we say Kriyat Shema, Chebekaba Lo Malchut Shemayim, I put my hands on my eyes, it's also a reminder, the oneness of God. And when I understand that God is unique in this world, I also understand that part of this animayimit, the upshot of this, is that God created me as a unique individual to be able to do something that no one else can do. And the hand is that imagery that reminds me of this. Moving to our final page, my friends, it's part of the mezuzah is to remind us to not get caught up in heavenly olam hazeh, in the vanities of this world, not to run after the motarot, not to run after the luxuries and the excesses. Part of these excesses, the motarot in 44 says, and 43 says, Rav Brazil, is to ask for kelim that don't belong to me. To ask God, you know, God, I really want to be, let's say, I happen not to be artistic, Baruch Hashem creative, but not artistic. God, I want to be artistic, and I want to be able to sing, and I want to be able to dance. If you ask Hashem for things that aren't part of you, what you're asking Him for is to create a different scenario. And then you're going to be held much a greater accountability of, if you're asking for more kelim and you don't use it, so then you're going to be held accountable. Why haven't you used what you have been given? Our job is not to focus on excess, to look at our palm, to look at our kochos ha-chayim, our kochos ha-nefesh, and say, what is unique to me? Why I am special like no one else has. I have a unique hand that nobody else has, and I need to be able to fulfill my mission. And this is what Adam HaRishon was asked when he ate of the tree in the asterisk in 45, Ayeka, where are you? Ayeka is made up in the bracket of the letters Ayeh, where, and then Kaf, literally the letter kaf, but the letter kaf is the word kaf, hand, the palm of my hand. Aye kaf, Adam Arisha, where's the palm of your hand? Did you look at what was your agenda? Or did you say, you know, if I eat of the food, and then we bring the world down, and then I'm on a higher level? No! You're creating your own mindset. This is what Karach was trying to do. There's a certain tmimus of this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. Allow me to follow this and do what I'm given. It's not about more. It's not about less. It's about being loyal to what is unique and special to me. Now we understand, my friends. 46, in the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbato, it brings down that in Havdalah, we've spoken about the proper way to hold one's hand in Havdalah. He says, V'gam mistaklim b'kapot ha'yadayim sheyesh b'sirtitei hayad l'simon l'isbarach bo. Hilchach yesh l'kfot ha'isbo'o l'toch hayad ha'inu ha'arba tzvot al-gav ha'gudal sh'az ro'eb tzipornayim im b'kapot b'vat echad. V'lo yur'eb p'nei ha'tzvot sh'bifnim, and then v'yesh no'akim l'ishchot ha'arkach ha'arba tzvot v'l'erob ma'chareim al tzipornayim. So the correct posture with one hand is to bend the four fingers over the thumb and to be able to see the nails and the palm at the same time. But there's a bracha to look at the palm of your hand, and then you turn over and you see just the top of your fingers. What's the idea of a bracha by looking in the palm of your hand? So says Rav Brazil in 47. This is Gevaldik. He says, we know that Motzei Shabbos is when Adam HaRishon encountered darkness for the first time. That's the idea of us having a Havdalah candle. They took two stones to create light. It was his first time that Shabbos, God gave him the light, and after Shabbos, because of his sin, he was enveloped in darkness, and he was very scared, and he realized what he had done wrong. So we have Havdalah. We have the Havdalah light to remind us of that state of being frightened that Adam HaRishon reached. But what do we do during Havdalah? We take a look at the palm of our hand. We take a look at the sirtut hayad, at the scoring of our palm, the lines. And we say to ourselves, where did Adam mess up? He didn't learn the lesson of the palm of our hand. How do we bring bracha into our week? How do we bring light into our week? That we look into the palm of our hand. We see what's unique about us. We see what is our mission this week. Where do we need to focus in on this week? Myself, what's special about me, what the Kochos HaNefesh Hashem gave me, what the light that I have to reveal this week. Is this not a powerful imagery, my friend? I mean, you should be flying at this point. That the light of the Havdalah candle is about the palm of our hand. It's about our mission for the week. To reveal this light is in our hand. It depended on what makes us special and unique. Every opportunity, every mitzvah, every act that we do to make this world a better place, a more godly place, we create more light in the world, we create more light in ourselves. What an imagery! What a way to start a week! So in summation, my friends, the Talis Shekulo Tchelet on one level is about, let's just focus in on that the blue should remind you of God. Who needs the intermediary process? No, we don't understand the intermediary processes in Torah mitzvahs. We can't try to second guess and say, let me skip the stages to reach the goal. Let me just have that talus and who needs the string. No, you need to have the intermediary goal. You need to understand that the mitzvah observance is because God commanded us. We don't understand why. And if you're going to try to put your mindset on it, you're going to land up in the Tahom, in the never ever world like Korach did. Because our job is to be able to take those tzitzit and to be able to tie those strings, to tie those knots. It's the work we do, it's the minutiae that we do that creates holiness in this world. It's having that roshim, it's having that impression of the mitzvot itself connect me to God. It's the mezuzah itself, it's not a bayi mali svarim, it's how do I interact with those mitzvot? How do I interact with those svarim? It's not just the end goal of having a lot of books in your room, but how are you and those books interacting together? And that's process, which is what Korach was trying to skip over. On the second level, you're right. Ki kol eida kulam kedoshim. Yes, we're holy. On the level of Yechida. On the level of Mamar Sinai. At the level of the future. But right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, as Ramchal clearly says, Hashem wants us to be involved in this process. He took this great light and he diminished it into that tiny core within us. Our job is every mitzvah to unpeel another layer, within ourselves and in the world. And that's such a gewaltic creative process that we have our opportunity over and over again, each and every day. The mitzvah, Gereret's mitzvah, this power. Korach wanted to skip this process, get straight to the Pnimius, get straight to the Tal Shekulot Tchele. He went straight into the Pnimius, straight into the ground. That's not the world we live in. We live in a world which has the strings. And those strings are those light, those energies, those forces that we need to be able to attach ourselves toward, to be able to reveal that ultimate light, the lines, to get to that ultimate mechol, that ultimate circle. And one of the ways practically to do this is that every time we kiss that mezuzah, we remind ourselves of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as the oneness of ourselves, how we are unique, how we are special. And every Motzei Shabbos, when we look down at our hands, we say, we are going to learn the lesson of Adam HaRishon. We're going to learn the lesson of Korach, that we have a unique job to fulfill. We have the lines on our hands. We have the process to go through. And that we ask for this bracha of every Motzei Shabbos, that Hashem should, with this light that we have, that we look at the small light, it should be the inspiration that we are able to use this as the guiding light of our entire week, that we're able to uncover and reveal more and more light within us and within the world at large.